Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
While Chicago adjusts to working at home, the score is there for you.
I appreciate you guys being there for us to listen to.
Everybody's listening. Kudos to you guys. Keep it going. I'm a loyal Score listener. I appreciate it all the time, but more than ever right now with you guys.
We are Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
We prepare for that.
Middays on The Score.
Oh, I miss making fun of Jim Boylan. It was our thing, and now yeah. We don't hear him talk enough. I guess we can still make fun of him, right? The top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all the people working through the COVID-19 pandemic, including first responders and emergency personnel. Thank you for helping keep us safe. Let's talk some NBA now with Brian Geltzeiler, who you can find on Twitter at Hoops Critic. He is at hoopscritic.com, Sirius XM NBA, and NBA Radio. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How you hanging in, Geltzy?
I'm doing okay, guys. Listen, it's been home for over a couple weeks now, over 2 weeks, and doing whatever I have to do from home. And, knock on wood, everybody's relatively healthy. We're doing the best we can to get through this. Hope you guys are doing well as well. A lot of people have it a lot worse than me. So believe me, no complaints coming from here. How about you guys? Everybody okay?
So far, so good. Yeah. I mean, everybody knows somebody who's dealing with it. I think at this point,
yeah,
we're pleased to have our health and make sure that our parents, aunts and uncles, and everybody are also taking all the necessary precautions. And I hope everybody is checking in on people and urging them to do the same. Geltzy, I read in the New York Post that there is a trial balloon, this idea of essentially the NBA making sure enough teams and players are at some point tested and then playing games in almost like a bubble. Like getting to a place where they know it's only the teams and the staff that they need, and maybe televising games. What do you understand about this idea to have some semblance of basketball in some secret place?
Well, it's not going to be a secret place. It's not going to quite be a bubble. It's going to be Las Vegas, Nevada, is what they're looking at. Right now, the whole city shut down. So it's what essentially they would look to do. And really, quite frankly, the company Abbott Labs would play a very large role in this because they have this 15-minute rapid test that got FDA approval that they are starting to send out 50,000 of these tests a day starting this week. I don't know exactly what day this week. And listen, it's, you know, there's a lot of people that need to be tested. So they're going to have to kind of, if you look at this plan essentially would replace the summer league for the NBA. It would take place late June, early July. So if you think about where we are right now on March 31st, that 50,000 tests a day, that's a lot of tests. And so you're going to have, they would have more than enough tests to be able, because think about the amount of people that they would have to be able to test to be able to do that between players and coaches and referees and whatever minimal media they're going to have there and announcers and trainers and ball boys. And then go and look at hotel personnel, the people that have to serve them in the hotel, whether it's the people making the food, cleaning the rooms, You know, it's they're going to have a level of personnel there as well. So it's going to require an enormous amount of COVID-19 tests. Now, again, where are those tests coming from? You have people that want to get tested that still can't get tested right now. That situation is on the verge of being alleviated over the course of the next couple of weeks here. And then once there's all these tests that are going to be out there and this rapid test from Abbott Labs, the NBA can kind of jump on the back end of that and put themselves in position where there's enough hotel personnel that can be tested. And listen, one positive test and the whole thing blows up or they can't have that person there. So it's that's the plan right now that they're looking at more seriously than any other because, again, it gets games back on television as quickly as possible, which is really what their goal is and what they'd like to do.
Kelsey, obviously the medical issues provide a whole bunch of resistance to this plan even getting off the ground, but are there issues, are there points of resistance between the league and the Players Association that might hang this up, or what else are they dealing with that may get in the way of restarting the league this way?
Well, listen, I do think this. I think that the players are going to want to get the league restarted, and the more pressing issue between the players and the owners is going to be the April 15th paycheck. Listen, tomorrow's April 1st. Everybody's paychecks are coming the way that they were scheduled to come for April 1st. That may not happen for April 15th. There may be a haircut in those paychecks. You know, keep in mind, the top 100 compensated employees for the NBA have taken a 20% haircut on their pay. Just because of the loss of revenue here. The players may very well be asked to participate in that. Now, do I think the players are going to hold up playing in a playoff and going to a place like Vegas to everybody to kind of compete on neutral courts? No, I don't think the players would hold that up. And I think in the end, you may see some kind of structure here where some of the higher paid players, you know, are willing to give 20% back, and then the guys that are making less money don't have to give anything back. I mean, you may see something like that, but I do think it's going to come in the, you know, under the, like, the guise of a negotiation. Listen, no one wants to give money back. These players don't want to give money back. By the same token, I think they're going to feel better about it publicly if it comes out as we came up with an agreement as opposed to the league enforced this clause that is in this collective bargaining agreement that they legally can do this. So I think you will see something where maybe it's the top 100 players are giving 20% back, and that's what happens. So you'll see something along those lines. But keep one thing in mind here, guys, just about the way the league has operated with the Players Association since Adam Silver has become the commissioner. It's always been very collaborative to a point where a lot of people have complaints that players have too much power in a league. I'm not one of them. I think that the players having power is a good thing in the end. That's what people tune in and want to see. So the players and what they believe, and there's a lot of very evolved, bright players here who have some very good ideas about what they believe should happen. So I think the collaborative effort between the owners, Adam Silver, and the players is going to really, it's going to be something that Silver can kind of hang his hat on a little bit here and is going to keep the NBA with everybody, even if it's not, even if they're not pulling in the same direction behind the scenes, you know, put a proper and a happy public face on this. Because again, there's so many more things that are so important right now. The last thing sports fans want to see when they don't have the games on TV is know that players and owners are fighting over money.
So help me understand the scope of this, the Vegas plan. Are they talking about ultimately, assuming they would have the testing available and assuming they're not having tests redirected to the NBA business that otherwise would go to people who need them elsewhere, that there is enough tests for them to get a fair share of tests? Are they saying convene the entire league, all the franchises, or a representative number of players to form new exhibition-style all-star teams, or a handful of franchises where they can make sure everybody's clean?
No, to my understanding, from what I've heard, is that it is going to be only playoff teams. They are going to conduct a playoff this way. They're going to take the 16 teams that right now are qualifying for the playoffs. I think they've punted on playing any more regular season games. And if they do decide to do that, it may end up being teams that are only qualifying for the playoffs right now. I think what this Vegas plan involves is playing a playoff and a final. So So I think it would be only playoff teams. And so you're looking at a little bit more than half the league. Out of 30 teams in the league, 16 teams are going to convene there. Now, again, I think you'll see all the players on each of these teams there. However, I don't know that you'll see the same level of a team and league personnel that would normally descend upon an event like this. And B, I think it's going to be very limited in the media that they allow. You know, I think that's going to be it. But to my understanding, this is not about exhibitions. This is not about regular season games. They want to get playoff games and a final on television so the broadcast partners have a chance to make some of the money back that the broadcast partners have lost. Keep in mind, for the broadcast partners, the TV partners, for ESPN and Turner, it's been a brutal year. Before this, it's been a brutal year. I mean, think about how they went all in on Golden State games on national TV with Steph Curry and have had Steph Curry miss most of the year. Think about how they went all in the first half of the year on Zion Williamson and having him be all over everybody's TV screens and how many New Orleans games that didn't have that because Williamson was out the first half of the year. You combine that with LeBron James being on the West Coast and him being the biggest attraction in the league and having the two of the largest markets in the country, New York and Chicago, not having a lot of fans that just don't stay up late to be able to watch him. And then the one big superstar that moves back east in Kevin Durant doesn't play the entire year. So it's for the broadcast partners, it's been a tough year. And I think the league wants to, and would love to be able to have a final that it doesn't matter when it is at this point, whether it's June, July, even into August, and they're willing to move back the start of next season to do it, to be able to have it. But I think that the league would like to explore every possibility that they can to play playoffs and have playoffs advance at the conference finals and NBA finals and be able to crown a champion.
You put it all together like that, Gelty, and it makes a lot of sense that ESPN is pushing up its Last Dance documentary, the story of the 97-98 Bulls. I imagine you've got some recollection of that season. I would imagine that you're going to be watching that documentary, maybe even as it comes out and live on television, the way we don't watch live television anymore.
What, the Jordan documentary? I cannot wait for it. I cannot wait for the Bulls documentary. I watched a trailer for it today, and I got it. And listen, guys, you're in Chicago, okay? You understand what the Bulls are there, all right? I'm a Jersey guy. I had chills, my tingles running up and down my spine looking at what that's going to be, because really when I remember living it, I remember watching it, I remember everything that it was at the time. I grew up a Knicks fan. So seeing what the Bulls did to those Knicks, how, you know, Pat Riley, Patrick Ewing Knicks were always blocked by Jordan and couldn't get through him in those great battles. This is going to be just an amazing thing that, yeah, it is going to be appointment viewing. There's no doubt about it. And a 10-part documentary rolling out here in April, ESPN does a great job in moving this up because the NBA, you know, listen, there's NBA fans that are starving for action. You're getting this weekend starting a 16-team NBA 2K league with players playing as the teams that they play on, which is going to be a lot of fun. Donovan Mitchell involved, DeMarcus Cousins, Kevin Durant involved, and that should be a whole lot of fun as well. So they're trying some creative stuff here to see if they can keep people interested in basketball, because one of the problems that you run into, that the networks run into, that the league runs into, is that when you get people who now you don't have sports on, they find other modes of entertainment. And what happens when they find other modes of entertainment? They find that they enjoy other modes of entertainment. And maybe when your games are back on TV, you don't get the same volume of people that flock back to your games. So I think in trying to maintain some interest in people, ESPN's very smart to move this documentary up. And the NBA, from what I understand, is going to do this 2K league on NBA TV. So, you know, you'll get some fans back there. You just want to keep people engaged. And let's face it, there's only so long that people are going to watch old classic games on ESPN and on NBA TV.
That's funny you describe it that way, because I think we know sports fans well enough, and I know that we know Chicago sports fans well enough, that maybe the idea of opening a book has its allure and its novelty. But as much as economists talk about post-pandemic V-shaped recoveries, Gelsey, I think when sports comes back, it is going to be an onrush like we've never seen. I think that the sport V-shaped recovery might make the actual one look like nothing, because sports fans starved for sports and for gambling and for all of it are going to be rushing back the moment the first vestiges of it are available. And I think that's what's informing this Adam Silver idea to try to put something together.
Yeah, listen, I think you're going to get a lot of people that do that, Dan. I think there's no doubt about that. But I also think you have to understand where the big money is made in sports. Where the big money is made in sports is the casual fan. And the casual fan is easily distracted. And this whole experience that all of us are going through right now is a massive distraction. Point is, yes, the gambling business is going to absolutely explode. The diehards are going to dive back in and be more enthusiastic and louder than ever. I totally agree with you. But are you going to pull the casual fan back in the same fashion that you do? I think that actually may take a little bit more time. I don't know that I necessarily agree it's going to be totally V-shaped with all the sports, because ultimately the casual fan, again, you pull in those casual people who don't necessarily watch it all season but love it and or like it and don't love it, but then they the whole drama of what's happening tends to pull them back in. If you can get those people back in, listen, you're going to be in great shape. I just think getting those people back in may take a little bit of time. But from a diehard standpoint, the diehards, and listen, NBA Twitter, once these games come back, NBA Twitter is going to be as loud and as enthusiastic as ever. And frankly, I can't wait for it.
Talking with Brian Geltzeiler. He's at Hoops Critic on Twitter, SiriusXM NBA, NBA Radio. You got the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Brian, let's assume for a moment that we do get some sort of playoff structure, whether it's, you know, everybody sequestered in Vegas or whether it's, you know, a little bit more of a normal pace to things. You get some sort of playoffs left. That still means that a good number of teams don't get to finish out their season. A good number of players don't get to do the same. Is there anything that you will feel other than a champion, other than like having a champion? What's the thing that you will feel most unresolved about the 2019-2020 season, something that you wanted answers on in these final few games, aside from, like I say, who would have taken home a trophy?
Well, I think there's two things to look at that don't get fully resolved here that just kind of get stopped in a moment of time. And to me, it's the MVP race and the Rookie of the Year race, right? So the MVP race, if you look at the last weekend of NBA basketball, LeBron James had a weekend like he could only dream of having all year, right? The other two main title contenders in the league, Milwaukee and the Clippers, he took them both down, one on a Friday night and one on a Sunday afternoon. And he did a heck of a job doing it. His team looked like the best team in the NBA that weekend. But more importantly, Giannis was banged up a little bit that week, and all of a sudden LeBron made some serious inroads with less than 20 games left to be able to get an MVP at the age of 35. That becomes unresolved, because right now when you stop the regular season right at this point, it's in my opinion, it's still Giannis Antetokounmpo's award. And so that's kind of an unresolved thing that you wish LeBron had a chance to go see that through. Now, listen, LeBron can go win a title here and have all that be forgotten and have that be a non-issue. But I think for LeBron, there was part of him that felt like grabbing an MVP at 35 gave a whole lot of validation to what he's done longevity-wise. And frankly, he deserves it. The guy's been amazing. The other part of this is Rookie of the Year, where, listen, I don't think Zion would have ever caught John Morant. I don't think he deserves to. But if by some chance the Grizzlies were able to blow that playoff spot, somebody were to pass him, and Morant were to struggle a little bit, and the Pelicans were to finish strong, Williamson could have made himself a case in the games that he played. Now, again, I don't think he would have. I think it would have been a little more difficult, and the MVP's much more unresolved than that. But that would have been interesting to me. And again, I think with the Grizzlies locking up the playoffs, that also locks up Rookie of the Year for Ja Morant. But the MVP thing, guys, that was really going to be a compelling race down the stretch that we all kind of get a little bit cheated of. But I will say this, and I feel the need to say this. When you look at the big picture of what's going on in the world, in the end, who cares? Let's keep people healthy. Let's keep as little we want. I mean, listen, the one person dies from this stuff, it's too many guys. And it's just so as much as all of that is, you know, on the sports side of things is somewhat unresolved, in the end, we as sports fans, we can all live with it as long as we're preserving as much life as possible.
Amen.
Well said, Geltzy. Appreciate the time. Stay safe. Keep best of health to you and your family.
You too, guys. Always my pleasure. Let's talk again soon. Take care of yourselves and your families.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.